You have your Bibles, if you would. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20. Last book in the Bible, Revelation, chapter number 20. Let's stand together while we read. Just a few verses, beginning with verse number 11. Revelation 20, beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us now in these next few minutes. I pray you would help me to be a blessing and a help to these dear folk who've come this way this morning. We pray, Lord, for Holy Spirit power and fullness in the service. Lord, help me to give to you my undivided attention. And I pray these folks will listen as well to your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. In doctrinal terminology, the passage we just read is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment. It's an important subject we're talking about this morning because the most important thing we do here as a church is to keep people out of hell. That's the reason Jesus left heaven. That's the reason he came to earth. That's the reason he went to the cross. That's the reason he was resurrected on the third day and ascended back to the right hand of his heavenly Father. He said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So his purpose became our purpose. His task became our task. And that is to keep people out of hell. J. Wilbur Chapman, many years ago, conducted a survey. And in that survey, he discovered that of people over 25 years of age, one out of 1,000 will ever get saved. If they're over 35 years of age, one out of 50,000 will ever get saved. If they're over 45 years of age, one out of 200,000 will ever find Christ as their Savior. If they're over 55, it's one over 300,000. And if they're over 75 years of age, the chances of their ever coming to know Christ as Savior becomes one in 700,000. Now, that survey was taken many years ago, and I would suspect that the odds are even less now than they were then. But there's an urgency in getting people to Christ as early as we possibly can. The Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now," he said. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. It's urgent that we reach people for Christ today, because tomorrow the chances of that person coming to know Christ as Savior has become less. That's why we have a Sunday school class. That's why we have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night services. That's why we run a vacation Bible school in the summertime. That's why we have the youth group that meets on Sunday night. That's why we go knocking on doors and witnessing to people throughout the week, because there's an urgency to get people to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on this great white throne judgment. There are many Bible teachers and scholars who are poring over their Bibles to find out what the next prophecy that must be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. Well, let me put you at ease. There are no prophecies that need to be fulfilled prior to the rapture. The rapture could take place today. It could take place right now while we're preaching this sermon. But the Bible tells us there will be a rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There will be a rapture, and it will be soon, I hope. But it definitely will be. When the rapture takes place, there will begin a period of 7 years here on the earth called the tribulation period. It'll be a time of famine and war and pestilence, disease and death, a time of great tribulation. And while that is taking place here on the earth, in heaven, there will be some events taking place. For example, the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place during that time. Judgment seat of Christ will take place during that 7 years we're in heaven. At the end of the 7 year period, Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth. Now, he came the first time at the beginning of the tribulation period, he came in the air. When he comes the second time, he's coming to the earth. He came for the first time for his saints. He's coming that second time, 7 years later, with his saints. He's coming for the purpose of defeating the Antichrist and establishing David's throne there in Jerusalem, and to rule and reign for 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ. At the conclusion of the millennial reign of Christ, there will be a resurrection, and there will be a great white throne judgment. So that's what we have on the timetable, beginning with the rapture of the saints. Now, I want to talk to you about the great white throne judgment this morning, and I'm going to talk to you about it in a series of seconds. There will be a second resurrection. There will be a second judgment. There will be a second Adam. And there will be a second death. 4 seconds I want to talk to you about this morning. The first one is the second resurrection. We already talked about the first resurrection. That takes place at the rapture, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain caught up together with the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the first resurrection. I hear talk sometimes about the resurrection. There is no such thing as the resurrection, where all people will be resurrected at the same time. That will never happen. There's the resurrection of the saved. That's at the rapture. Then there is the resurrection of the lost. That's at the end of the millennial reign, at the great white throne judgment of God. So who's going to participate in the second resurrection? Those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Though all those who know him will have part in the first resurrection, those who don't know him will have part in the second resurrection. Revelation 21 and verse 8 talks about those people. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Death and hell. Look with me at verse 13. Chapter 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That's all the lost people. They'll come out of their graves. Bodies will come out of the graves, out of the ocean, wherever they were when they died. Their bodies will be resurrected, rejoined with their soul. Soul and body will become one again when it stands before the great white throne judgment. That's the second resurrection. We read in this verse, Revelation 21:8, their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Somebody asked the question, is that real fire? Somebody, I heard a preacher one time say he didn't know whether it was real fire or not. Well, I know how he could find out. He could read his Bible. Mark chapter 9 tells us where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Three times he says that. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. When God says fire, do you know what he means? He means fire. You know, the Bible's a pretty simple book if we just take it for what it says. God means what he says. So the second resurrection, body and soul are reunited of lost people, all lost people. And they'll stand before the great white throne judgment. Is there a purgatory? There's no purgatory. No, they're going to stand before God. Every one of them. The second thing I see in this passage is the second judgment. In verse 13 again. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, every one of them, without exception, according to their works. So it doesn't matter who you are, small or great, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, you will, if you're lost, stand before God at the great white throne judgment and be judged. This is the second judgment. This judgment is not to decide whether you are going to heaven or hell. There'll never be a judgment to decide whether or not you go to heaven or hell. Somebody said to me not too long ago, I just don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. Well, you know they're right. People who go to hell go there because they chose to. God gave them a choice. He sent his son to the cross. He died on the cross to pay for men's sin so they wouldn't have to go to hell. And every man who goes to hell goes there by his own choosing. This judgment does not decide heaven or hell. Now there's a judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is for determining rewards. The Bible tells us there are crowns that can be won by a Christian through what we do here, our service here on the earth. And those crowns, you know what's going to happen with those crowns? We're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Won't that be something? Let me ask you a question. When you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, will you have any crowns? Or will you be empty-handed? We used to sing a song. Some of you older folks may remember the song. I'm not old enough to remember, but some of you might. Must I go an empty-handed? Must I grieve my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? You remember that song? How many of you remember that song? Not very many, but there are a few. I can remember when I was 6 years old, a friend of mine named Alan Snyder had a birthday party. And I didn't hear about it till the last minute. But I heard that there was a party, and so he lived a block and a half down the street. I went to his birthday party. And at the birthday party, it came time to open his gifts, and he began to open the gifts from all the people who'd come to his birthday party. When it came my turn, you know what I had to offer him? I didn't have a thing. I didn't have a gift. Can you imagine how I must have felt? What do you think it'll be like when we stand before our Lord and Savior? And other people are casting their crowns at his feet, and I have nothing. It'll be a sad time, won't it? Will you have any crowns to offer him? That's the judgment seat of Christ. But this judgment we're talking about this morning, the Great White Throne Judgment, that's not for rewards. This judgment will decide degrees of punishment. You see, punishment won't be the same for everybody. Here's a fellow over here who lived a dissolute life. He was a criminal. He was a bad person. He did very little that was commendable. Over here was a fella, lived a moral life, but he never got saved. Both of them are going to be in hell. Do you think they're going to suffer the same punishment? Or will one suffer more than the other? Here's a fellow over here. He beats his wife. He's a bootlegger. He cheats on his income tax. He laughs at the preacher when he hears a sermon on the Great White Throne Judgment. Over here's a fella. The worst thing he ever did was drink soda pop. Now they're both going to hell. Do you think they're both going to suffer the same punishment? No. No. This judgment is going to determine the degree of punishment you receive. And how's it going to be determined? By the books. God has a record. And he'll pull out that record and read your record. And after he's read your record, he'll determine what the punishment will be. That's the second judgment. Now, who's the judge? That's an important question, isn't it? Who's the judge? The Bible says that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Who's the Son? Jesus. Who's the judge? Jesus. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find that Jesus is the second Adam. The second Adam. So the judge will be the second Adam. We've had the second resurrection. We've had the second judgment. And now we have the second Adam, who is the judge. By the way, this Jesus that sits on that great white throne, he's not the Lamb of God. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. The last one is the second death. Look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Somebody said one time, a man's either born once and dies twice, or he's born twice and dies once. I'm so thankful this morning I've been born twice. How about you? I was born the first time, June 2nd, 1944. I was born the second time, September the 8th, 1952. You know which one I value most highly? The second one. The second one's eternal. It's forever. Born into the family of God. I became a child of God, September the 8th, 1952. I became a citizen of heaven on that same day. I'm as good for heaven as if I were already there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if you're saved, you're as good for heaven as if you were already there. No one can take that from you. No one can rob it. No one can steal it. No one can take it. It's yours. But for these folks who are lost, I want you to get the picture this morning. Standing before the judge, and the names are called. Joe Smith. And his record is read. And judgment is passed. Jack Jones steps forward. And his record is read. And his judgment is passed. Mary Jackson. One after another, the names are called, and they step forward to hear their own record read. You know, one thing I'm thankful for, that record of mine will never be read. It was blotted out. He said, I'll remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. I'll remember them no more. I'll cast them behind my back, he said. Not true for the lost person. Every act will be read. Every single one. Every thought. Every idle word. Somebody says, "Preacher, don't talk about hell. Let's talk about the love of God." You know what we need this morning? We need some old-fashioned Bible preachers who will stand up and preach on sin and call sin, sin, and preach that there is a place called hell. And people who die without Jesus go there and spend an eternity there. We need preaching like that. I can recall a day when we had hellfire and brimstone preachers. God give us some. The Bible says, "Whosoever's name was not found," verse 15, "whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The question is your name written in the book of life? How does it get written there? Well, I can't prove this by the Bible, but I can tell you what I think. Here's what I think. When Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, the name of every man, woman, boy, and girl was placed in that book of life. The potential's there for that person to live. All he has to do is accept what Jesus did for him on the cross. Now we read where names are blotted out of the book of life. How does a name get blotted out? Can you lose your salvation? No, we know that because when I got saved for how long? Eternally. Eternal means forever. If I had it today and lost it tomorrow, was it eternal? Listen, the Bible means what it says. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall," help me out here, "never perish." Now, can you make it any plainer than that? So how does a name get blotted out of the book of life? By rejecting Christ's offer of forgiveness of sins for those who trust him. Wouldn't it be sad to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and then have it blotted out? How sad. Is your name there? I hope that it is. If it's not, let me encourage you. This morning, trust Christ as your Savior. Get it settled. Because every day that goes by, the chances of your ever coming to know Christ as Savior becomes less. Somebody says, "Preacher, I plan on getting saved, just not right now." No, if you won't do it now, you won't do it. Let's just be honest. If you won't do it today, you won't do it. You'll never have a better chance. You'll never have a better opportunity than you have this morning. Trust Christ. He's promised to save you. You ever been at the deathbed of a lost person? I have. It's sad. It's sad. I brought some quotes this morning from some noted lost people. People who claimed to be atheists, who didn't believe in God, who laughed at the gospel, and they're on their deathbed. One of them's name was Thomas Paine. Most of you familiar with that name, Thomas Paine. On his deathbed, here's what he said: "I wish I had never lived." I wish I had never lived. Voltaire, French atheist, on his deathbed said this, "Oh, Jesus Christ, oh, Jesus Christ, it is hell to be left alone." Thomas Hobbes, "I'm taking a fearful leap into the dark. Oh, Christ, oh, Jesus." These are the last words of men who rejected Christ. What about you this morning? You say it. Is heaven your home? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? A famous artist drew a picture, and the picture was the picture of a forest. And that forest had a pathway leading into it. At the entrance to the forest, the path is broad and wide and well-traveled. But as you enter the forest, the pathway becomes narrower. The pathway becomes more obscure. And the forest becomes darker. Pretty soon, if you travel that path, you're in the forest. And there's no pathway out. The artist who drew the picture drew the pathway into the forest, but he did not draw a pathway out of the forest. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this. Every day that goes by, that you refuse to make that choice and take Christ as your Savior, the way back becomes more obscure and more difficult. Just like the survey I read to you at the beginning of this message, the chances of your ever being saved become less and less and less as days go by. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this. Don't put it off. If you're lost this morning, take Christ as your Savior today. Do it now. Do it today. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You may not be here tomorrow. You may not have an opportunity tomorrow to trust Christ, but you have one today. I stand here before you as a dying man pleading to dying men, trust Christ as your Savior. Do it today. Let's pray.